Today, we continue in our study of Mishnayos Bikurim, excuse me, with lesson number 9. We will study today Perek Beis, Mishneh Vav and Zayin, the second Perek, the 6th and 7th Mishnah. In the past few Mishnayos, we've been learning about three categories of mitzvos hatluyos po'oretz, namely Truma, Bikurim, and Trumas Maase. And we have been comparing ways in which Bikurim is like Truma, but not like Maase. Maase Sheni is like Truma, but not like Bikurim, etc. Ways in which things are alike or different. For the rest of this perek, we're going to be studying Mishnayos, which have no connection to Bikurim proper, but which are structured in the same way as the previous Mishnayos, namely, comparing ways in which things are similar and different from other halachic entities. And the Mishnah begins, and this is a Mishnah which is familiar to Yeshiva Bochrim because it appears just about at the beginning of Maseches Kedushin. Esrog, an esrog tree, shoveh lo ilon b'shlosha drochim. An esrog tree is like all other trees in three ways. V'la yorok b'derech echot. But in one way, it is compared to plants, to vegetables, and not to fruit trees. Now, there are many differences between the halachos which apply to a tree, an ilon, and halachos which apply to vegetables which grow on the ground. And among the differences, for example, is orla. If I have a tomato plant, there's no obligation for orla. The tomato plant is not a tree, it's a yorok. However, if I have an apple tree, for the first 3 years of its growth, the fruit is considered orla. An esrog tree, like an apple tree, is obligated in the halachos of orlo, shovelo ilon bo orlo, meaning in the first 3 years of the esrog tree, you're not permitted to eat from that tree. Uvorvai, now in the fourth year of a tree, of course in Eretz Yisrael, what you do is treat those fruits of the fourth year similar to the way you would treat Ma'aser Sheni, namely, either you take those fruits of the fourth year, all of them, take them to Yerushalayim and party with them there, eat them there, or you exchange the fruits of the fourth year for coins. You take the coins to Yerushalayim and there you purchase foods which belong to a certain category and you eat them, consume them in Yerushalayim. So an esrog tree, like any other tree, as opposed to like plants which just grow on the ground, is obligated in the laws of Orlo and Ravai. This is the way that Rashi, in Maseches Sukkah, the Flamed Tesemet Beis, explains our Mishnah. However, most Mephorshim explain it a bit differently. And they point out that when you look at any plant which grows, whether it's a tree or a vegetable, fruit tree or a vegetable, there are two points in its growth which are crucial as far as the halacha is concerned. One point is called chanoto, which often is translated as blossoming of the tree, but it seems that a more accurate translation of the word chanoto is the beginning of the formation of the fruit of the tree. So if you look at a fruit tree, an apple tree, for example, when the apple begins to grow, there's a point at which you suddenly see a very small apple the size of a small bean or a marble. That's chanoto. Much later in the process is the act of lekita, of actually gathering or harvesting the apples or the tomatoes or whatever. When it comes to determining the years of orla for a tree, an apple tree or a date tree or a fig tree, We follow the chanota, the beginning of the formation of the fruit. So that, for example, if the beginning of the formation of the fruit is within 3 years of the tree's planting, but the tree is actually harvested and the fruits are taken off the tree in the fourth year, by trees we follow the chanota, and the example I gave, it is still orlo. Similarly, if you have a tree and the chanota is in the fourth year, and the lakita, the actual harvesting, is in the fifth year, it has the halachos of Revai. And similarly for Shvius, for the Shemitah year, if you have a tree where the chanota was in the sixth year, but the harvesting was in the seventh year, it is not subject to the laws of Shvius, of the seventh year of Shemitah, because the chanota was in the sixth year. If the chanota was in the seventh year, and the lakita, the gathering of the fruits, was in the eighth year, it would be subject to the laws of Shvius, Shemitah, because the chanota was in the seventh year. So that's true for all trees. And our Mishnah teaches us that in those three respects, an esrog is shovelo ilon, bo'orlo. For counting the years of orlo, you look at the chanota. If the chanota was in year three, it's orlo. Uvaravoy, when it comes to revai, the way you treat the fruits of the fourth year, if the chanota was in the fourth year, you have to treat the fruits that way. Uvashvius, when it comes to the halachos of Shvius, of Shemitah, we look at when the chanota was and not when the lakita was. However, a esrog is in one respect different from trees and similar instead to yorok, to green vegetables. Because when it comes to a yorok, if I want to determine if this yorok, this tomato, this cucumber, this potato grew in year one or two of Shemitah, in which case it would be chayev in ma'aser rishon, in the first tithe, and in ma'aser sheni, and in the second tithe. Second tithe, remember, the fruits are taken to Yerushalayim or exchanged for coins and taken to Yerushalayim and eaten there. And year three is Maaser Rishon, given to the Levi, and Maaser Oni, given to the poor. Year four and five, again, Maaser Rishon, given to the Levi, Maaser Sheni, taken to Yerushalayim or exchanged for coins and taken to Yerushalayim and eaten there. However, in the sixth year, it's not Maaser Rishon and Maaser Sheni that are given, but rather Maaser Rishon and Maaser Oni. The second tithe is given to the poor. So how do you determine whether a vegetable grew in year one and two, or in year three, in year four or five, or in year six? So we look at when the lakita is, when the person gathers in the tomatoes, the potatoes, the cucumbers from the garden. If the lakita is in year one or two, even though if the chanota was in a previous year, in other words, the first little tomato was formed in year Shemitah, but the lakita was done in year one, then it would be obligated in Masros, and you would give Maaser Rishon and Maaser Sheni. If the chanota was in year two, but the lakita was in year three, so in year three you give Maaser Rishon and Maaser Oni. In this respect, an esrog is like a yorok. For la yorok bederech echod shebishas lakitoso isuro. An esrog, when it comes to determining which year of the ma'aser cycle it is assigned to, you do not look at the chanota, but rather you look at the lakita, like a yorok. The reason for this is that an esrog is unlike most other trees, in that an esrog does not suffice. An esrog tree it's not sufficient for it to just have regular rainwater. It has to be watered by hand. In this respect, it's like yorokos too, tomatoes, cucumbers, asparagus, whatever, broccoli, have to be watered by artificial means. Rainwater is not sufficient for them. So an esrog tree is like a yoruk in that respect. However, when it comes to the other inyanim, orlo, revai, shavias, the Gemara Meseches Rosh Hashanah Daf Yudalet Amud Beis learns from various psukim that an esrog is like ilon for those three respects. And for those three respects, we follow chanota. But for isur, for maaser, we follow lekita, divrei Rabban Gamliel. This is the opinion of Rabban Gamliel, that for yorok, an esrog, when it comes to maaser, an esrog is like yorok. However, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Shovelu Ilon Becholtov. Rabbi Eliezer disagrees and says that an esrog is a tree, looks like a tree, it tastes like a tree, it smells like a tree, it's a tree. And therefore, it could be compared to all other trees in every respect, even as far as determining the year of Maaser, which is assigned to it. Now, we will move on to Mishnah Zion, the seventh Mishnah. Dam mahalach eshtayim, the dam of the creature that walks on 2 feet, namely the human being, shovet ledam behema, is equal, similar, has the same halachic status as the blood of an animal, of a mammal. Lahachshir es hazeroim. The halacha is, the Torah tells us, that in order for a fruit or a vegetable to be susceptible for tuma, to be mekabel tuma, it has to be first moistened by a liquid. And that's called hechsher or hachshoro lekabel tuma. Once it's moistened, it becomes wet from a liquid, then it is susceptible to tumor. Then if a dead sheretz touches it, if a woman who's a nido touches it, if a tamei meis touches it, etc., it becomes tome. However, not every liquid qualifies. Blood, however, the blood of a mammal is considered a liquid in that respect, and the blood of a human being in that respect is like the blood of a mammal, and it is machshir es hazroim. It is machshir es hazroim. This is the way in which the dam of humans is like the dam of mammals. However, v'dam hasheretz ein chayovim olof. The blood of a sheretz, of a rodent or a reptile, that blood is not considered dam as far as lehachshir lekabel tumo. This is a gzeres hakosuv, a posuk which indicates that dam hasheretz is not machshir lekabel tumo. So the dam of a human being and the dam of a mammal are machshir, the dam of a sheretz are not machshir. The other thing about a dam hasheretz is that ein chayovim olof, and in this respect, the dam of a human being is similar to dam hasheretz and not similar to dam behema. If a person eats or drinks the blood of a behema, a cow, or a chaya, a deer, or an oaf, a chicken, chay of kores. He's chay of kores. As the pasuk says, v'chol dam lo suchelu, v'chol mosh vosechem, lo'of v'la behema. Lo'of v'la behema. It's all animals and all birds. However, if a person eats the blood of shrotzim, of the reptiles or rodents which qualify as shrotzim in the Torah, there is no chiyuv of dam. There's no chiyuv of dam. Similarly, if a person consumes human blood, there is min haTorah, there is no chiyuv mishum dam. So in this respect, dam of mahalchei shtayim, of those who walk on 2 feet, of humans, is similar to dam hasheretz and not similar to dam behema. Midrabbonon, however, dam sheretz is osur, and it's osur, by the way, if a hasro, if a person wants to eat dam sheretz, and you tell him, don't eat it because you'll be violate the isur of dam, no. He hasn't violated any isur because there is no isur of dam sheretz. However, if you say don't eat the dam sheretz because you will be guilty of eating a sheretz, and the dam of a sheretz is no different from the flesh of a sheretz, then you have violated the isur of sheretz. When it comes to dam of a human being, min haTorah there's no isur of dam of a human being. However, midrabbonon, dam of a human is also ba'achila, if the dam is in a kli, in a vessel, or blood soaks into bread, for example, human blood. Person's bleeding and his blood gets all over the bread, you can't eat that bread. It's interesting to speculate on why the Mishnah refers to humans here as mahalchei shtayim, those who walk on two legs. Why not just say dam ha'odom, the dam of a man, of a human being? There are various answers given to this. An interesting one is given by the Tiferes Yisroel. There is a creature whom we study about in the Mishnah, in Meseches Kelayim, Perek Ches Mishnah Hey, a creature called Adnei Sode. Seems to be some humanoid type of creature, some creature that looks like a human, that walks around on two legs, but it's not a human. Whether it's a monkey or some primitive man, it's a speculation about exactly what it is. But there is a creature called Adnei Sode. So the Tiferes Yisroel, one of the Mefarshim here in Meseches Bikurim, suggests that the Mishnah uses the term Dam Mahalchei Shtayim to include the blood of those creatures known as Adnei Sode. Perhaps they're orangutans or gorillas or some other animal, that there too, their blood will be Machshires Hazroim, like Dam Behemo, but no Chiyuv for a person who eats that blood, as is true with Dam Hasheretz. And so we have completed Mishnah lesson number 9.